This morning, just a few of announcements, well, actually a handful of announcements this morning. A lot of things coming up here. Adult Bible Study and Ignite are both meeting tonight from 6 to 7. And we're doing that book giveaway. The library was kind of overflowing with books. And it's Christian material for kids through adults. It's back in the first classroom on the right when you go into the new building. Just you can browse around in there, take what you'd like. The Ladies' Banquet is going to be on May the 5th. It's a Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. Out at Sign Up Central, there is a sign up for that if you'd like to attend. Just notate how many ladies would be coming with you so we can plan appropriately for that. And then Vacation Bible School is June 11th, 12th, and 13th. There's a sign up out there. If you'd like to help or donate monetarily, if you would just sign up out there. And then next Sunday after each service, we're going to have a volunteers meeting. If you're interested in helping with VBS, you can just stick around after the service for a short meeting just to kind of let you know what VBS is going to be like this year. Doing it a little different. It's going to be a weekend VBS instead of the weeknights. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday evenings. 5 to 7, we'll have a meal at 5 o'clock and then go into the activities. And then also from the Easter egg hunt last week on Sunday, if you want to return the Easter eggs to be used again next year, there's a tub out there by the blue table. You can drop those off or bring by the office during the week as well if you'd like to donate those back. And then the last thing I want to mention, we've been collecting the offering by using that offering box out on the blue table. Next week it won't be there. We're going to start passing the offering trays again next Sunday. So just remember that when you come in. You won't see that box. We'll just pass those trays after communion like we had in the past. What do you call the weather when it's raining ducks and chickens? Foul weather. We're having some of that foul weather today. But as I was reminded this morning, it's those April showers that bring the Mayflowers. And I had someone else tell me, but not the pilgrims. So all kinds of wisdom this morning. We're going to start a new message series for the next 4 weeks leading up to Mother's Day. We're going to be looking at developing the heart of a warrior. For the disciples, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to them in the upper room. It would have been quite startling, I'm sure. And we talked last week how they were filled with no hope, with fear, anxiety, stress. And then when Jesus appeared, that took all that away, and they were filled with hope. A hope because their beloved friend, their Savior, Jesus, had returned from the dead. Now, for these disciples, leaving the upper room and going back into society was going to be hard for them. And they were going to have the heart of a warrior to be able to go forth and proclaim the message of Jesus. And they did exactly that. And for you and I, it's the same. We have to cultivate within us courage so that we can be the warrior, the leader that God desires us to be, so that we can be effective in our lives in proclaiming Christ. That way we can be effective where we work. We can be more effective in our households. It branches out into all aspects of life. And you think about it. We all of us have a bit of a warrior inside of us. Think back when you were a kid. What do little kids want to dress up like for Halloween? Superheroes? Right? When I was a kid, Ninja Turtles was huge. I mean, I was a Ninja Turtle like every year it seemed. I was either a Ninja Turtle or just a ninja. You know, I didn't have a shell. I was just a ninja. You know, and you carry around nunchucks and stuff like that, end up hitting yourself with them. But you thought you were big, bad, and tough, and you're a little kid. And then we grow older. We become adults. And we want to be tough. We want to act like we got it together. We got the spirit of a warrior, and we want to charge forward and win life. But oftentimes we find out we're just big wimps. Because why? Life gets hard. Life gets difficult. But within each and every one of us, God, he can develop the heart of a warrior. He can help us muster the courage to overcome the obstacles that life throws our way. And to help us understand this, we're going to look at the life of Joshua for the next 4 weeks. If you have your Bibles, open up to Joshua chapter 1, where we're going to look at God as he interacts with Joshua. For 40 years, the Israelites circled the desert, waiting to go into the promised land. If you look at a map, geography, they didn't go far. These couple million Israelites, they just circled and they circled and they circled. You would have figured one of them would have said, I think we went past that rock before. But God wasn't allowing them to cross the Jordan yet. God had a plan. But if I were to put myself into Joshua's shoes, I think this would have been a very intimidating undertaking. That God would choose him to take over from Moses. And you might remember that the promise of the promised land actually started a long time before that with Abraham. That I will give you a land that you know nothing of, and your ancestors will live there. And a lot of time had passed by, a few thousand years. And so now here we are. Here we are, faced with a giant obstacle. They had spied on the land. There's some big people over there. And you think about the Israelites. They weren't a well-oiled machine as far as military. These were a bunch of ragtag people that just wandered. They didn't have tactics to follow. They didn't have a game plan. But they had God on their side. I think Joshua, he understood that. And for Joshua, he's now going to have to take over from Moses. Moses was the leader for the Israelite people, and now he's no more, and it's going to be Joshua's turn. And Joshua, he's just a normal, everyday guy, but he allowed God to use him to change his heart and to make him this warrior, this leader that the people needed to lead them into the promised land. And so the first thing that God does is he tells Joshua, you need courage. We read in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, he says, be strong and very courageous. In the Hebrew, the term be very courageous, it means to the highest degree. To the highest degree, I want you to be brave. I want you to muster the courage. And then continuing there, verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will prosper and be successful. And so God gives Joshua the recipe as to how it is that he can cultivate the courage that he needs. And then in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You might have noticed here that God, he's repeating himself. What's the one word that's repeated three times? It tells him you need to be courageous. When you're talking to your kids, why is it you have to repeat yourself? One, they're not listening, or two, they're not getting it. And I'm thinking here that Joshua, he's intimidated. He knows this is not going to be easy. And God's reminding him it takes courage. And he says it again. You got to be courageous. You got to be courageous. And it's not written for us, but I wonder if Joshua did much like Moses did. You mean me? I can't do this. I'm not Moses. I'm just Joshua. And in between God continuing to say, be courageous, Joshua may be saying, I can't do it. And God speaks into our lives as well, and he says, you have to be courageous. You have to muster the courage. While we're saying, I don't know, God. I'm going to sit this one out. Not this time. That's not possible. And we learn from Joshua that it takes courage. So here's what we learn from these few verses. The first is this. You cannot be a warrior without courage. This is very true. And because this is very true, it's very easy to run to fear. To allow our faith in God and be courageous to be replaced with fear. And fear is an extremely strong emotion, and it can cause us to do things that we perhaps wouldn't necessarily do. But we get caught in the moment, whatever the life situation is, and we run to fear. This time last year, here's a picture. Target. What happened? All the toilet paper disappeared in America, right? Or that's what it looks like at Save a Lot in County Market when an ice storm is going to come, or maybe a tornadic weather could be in the forecast. Fear can really drive us, but that can be overcome. And we have to know, to be a warrior, we have to be courageous. For Joshua, I'm sure there had to be a level of fear. I'm sure there had to be a level of hesitation in taking over from Moses and leading the people across the Jordan to the promised land. But God saw in him a man who had the heart of a warrior. He just needed to muster the courage. And you might ask the question, how can fear and courage coexist? And I want to make this statement. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's choosing to live by faith in spite of it. That we don't have to walk through life living in fear, but we can overcome it in spite of it through having courage. It's kind of like what John Wayne would say, courage is saddling up anyway. And sometimes in life, we've got to saddle up. We have to have that strong faith in God that He'll lead us and that we'll step forward in faith and be courageous. Now, courage, it does not mean that you'll never feel fear. If you think the two can't coexist, if you ever feel fear, then you'll never have courage. And that's not how God has designed us. I am sure as Joshua led the forces, there was in the lingering in the back of his mind, fear. But he replaced that with his faith in God, and he showed courage. Let's take public speaking, for example. They say people fear death more than they fear speaking in public. How many of you in high school loved speech class? Anybody just loved it? I really have never talked to someone that did. When I was 16 and 17 years old in high school, I absolutely hated getting up. And 3-minute speech seemed like half an hour, right? And you stumble through your words and you'd say things that made no sense, but you just wanted to get it over with. And for me, thinking my career path would be public speaking. If you would have told me that as a shy, introverted 16 or 17-year-old, I'd have thought you were out of your mind. And you might be thinking, well, Dave must have got over that. Nope. No. I'm intimidated. I won't say fear. There's nervousness. Saturday evenings, I sit at the kitchen table and look through my notes thinking, man, I hope I don't mess this up tomorrow. I wake up Sunday morning with the same thought in my mind. But I move forward in faith because I know it's what God wants me to do. And that's true for your life. That's true in the situations that you face that bring fear, anxiety, stress. God is saying, have faith in me, step forward in courage, and I'll make you the warrior I need you to be. So what's the difference between a warrior and a coward? Some might think, well, one of them lacks fear. That's totally wrong. A warrior will keep acting in faith in spite of the fact that there is a presence of fear. A warrior chooses to step forward in spite of the lingering of fear because we have faith in a God who is greater than that. Here's an example. 42-year-old Rosa Parks got onto a city bus and decided, I'm taking a stand and I'm going to take a seat. Nelson Mandela said this, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. And I think the remedy our culture tells us to get over fear is to just ignore it. It's not there. And I think that does more damage than good. We recognize the fear, but we know that we have a faith that is stronger. And so, where is it in your life that you need to step forward in faith? What fear, anxiety, stress do you need to place in God's hands just as Joshua did and step forward in courage and in faith and allow God to cultivate that heart of a warrior in you? Because there's plenty of instances in life where we need to dig down deep. We need to be like Joshua and be courageous. I think the fear that holds the church back the most is our fear to share our faith. I couldn't imagine if the church would be open and honest with people about their faith, how that would change communities and how the church would grow and honor God. But often we're reluctant. Why? There's a fear there. There's a fear of what do I say? There's a fear of what will they think? There's a fear at work if you would say something, what might happen? What will my boss say? That fear can be difficult, but God says, I want you to be courageous. And for the warrior, the biggest fear often is failure. There's nothing worse than going forward in faith and then you flop. Ever done that? And then you look back and you have that regret. And every warrior's greatest fear is failure. If that's the case, then every warrior's greatest pain is regret. There's nothing worse than having to look in the rearview mirror regretting things, right? That can lead to a very bitter and disappointing existence on this planet. And if we choose in our life not to step out on faith in God and be courageous, then we're going to look back and have regrets because we chose to live in fear. Whatever comes your way, Jesus said, you will have troubles. But he said, trust in me. That was long after God spoke to Joshua, but it was the same thing. So be strong and courageous. A little boy was woke up about midnight. Thunder, lightning. He started to cry. His mom ran into the bedroom and sat on the bed next to him, and he couldn't catch his breath. He was so upset, and she finally got him calmed down after talking with the little boy, and she wiped away the tears, and she thought he was about to the point where he's going to fall back asleep, and she starts to tippy-toe to the door, and then the little boy wakes up and says, Mom, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going to go back to bed, and she said, well, I want you to sleep with me, and the mom said, well, I got to go sleep with Daddy. There was a little bit of a pause, and then the little boy spoke up and said, that big sissy. And we have that lingering fear, but God, he asks us to trust in him, that when we step forward in faith, that we can have the courage to face what comes our way. You think about a little kid. Maybe when you were a kid, did you have something you wanted to hold on to that made you feel comfortable or safe when you went to bed at night? Maybe a blankie or a stuffed toy. I remember a little bit, I wasn't like a little kid, I was 7 or 8 years old. I was real big into the ninja thing and all that. And I had this fake plastic sword that I set next to the bed. It's a psychological thing, and I'm weird, but I thought, you know, if somebody broke in, I could get that and I'd defend the house. Then we become adults. You may have something near your bed that you have that's for safety, that you think would protect you in case something would happen. And I got to thinking about movies and people that we thought are courageous warriors. How did they protect themselves? I got a couple pictures here. First one, William Wallace, Braveheart. Pretty tough dude. Next one, Gladiator, Russell Crowe. Pretty good movie. Third one, I did this for fun. Conan the Barbarian. What one thing is in common with these three warriors? They had a sword. Perhaps one of the greatest weapons that we could think of when we think of movies and warriors is a sword. And you know, I got to thinking, God had something to say about swords. The picture you see on the screen, that's a picture of a Roman gladius. At the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire was exploding in population and in size. And this weapon that you see up here, the gladius, it's a perfectly balanced sword that's double-edged. And that sword single-handedly allowed the Roman Empire to overcome all their opponents. It was the equalizer. It was the weapon of choice, and it dominated. And then God, through his inspiration, spoke. And there are some things in Scripture that are talked about when it comes to a sword. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, this is going to be familiar to many of you. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And as you look at this list, you have a belt, a breastplate, a shield, a helmet. Those are all defensive weapons, right? You wear them to protect the body. And there's only one weapon listed that's an offensive weapon, and that's a sword. And God says that the sword is his word, the word of God. And then the writer of Hebrews was inspired and wrote this, Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I remember at Oil Belt Camp, my first church I worked as a youth minister, I went and worked on staff at the camp. And I remember there was one guy that spoke every evening at the chapel service. And he would hold up his Bible. And he'd ask the kids, "You got your sword?" And he'd have them hold the sword. And he said, "I want you to cut off Satan's head." And they'd do that. But the point being made here is that God's word is effective, but only if we utilize it in our life. Courage comes from using the sword of God. Sword and word, pretty similar. I think God knew what he was talking about when he wrote these things. Now, if you had a gladius in your hand, you probably would be pretty confident in yourself that you could do some damage. But if you have this in your hand, are you confident that this could squash your fear? Because that's exactly what God is telling us. Now, let's go back to what God told Joshua. We've read this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. "Be strong and very courageous." Okay? How? God is telling him a command. Be strong and very courageous. The common sense question would be, how do I do this? He says, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And God is very clear how it is that we can be courageous. God is very clear how we can overcome our fear. He first says that my word should be on your lips. If God's word's on your lips, where has it been? It's been in your mind. It's been in your heart. Jesus says, from what's in your heart will come from the mouth. And he's commanding Joshua, have your word on my lips. And then he also says that you would meditate on it day and night. That we wouldn't run to God's word when all of a sudden something happens. But this would be a constant in our life, day and night. And he says, from doing these things, you'll be prosperous. You will see that you can conquer the fears that you have. And I just wonder for Joshua, after God saying three times that he finally believed, and that he knew, as long as I am obedient to God's word, God can do something in me I can't do for myself. And for you and I, it's the exact same. It's only God that can do these things in your life. We can't do these things on our own. Trying to conquer our fears, to step forward and be courageous on our own, we are a very limited people. As successful as you are, or whatever accolades you want to lay forth, it's not going to get you to where God could get you. And so I would ask you that you would consider allowing God to be the one that you put your faith and trust in, that you can step forward in faith over fear, be courageous, and be the warrior that God wants you to be. Because God needs us to be better leaders at our workplaces, in our homes, with your social circle, whatever it might be. God, he needs you. He needs you on his side. He needs you fighting for him, because he'll always fight for you. God has called us to be warriors. But I think we have the tendency to want to be warriors, where we worry about things. And that's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to kind of just be passive and worry about our fears, to worry about our anxieties and our stresses. But God calls us to step forward in faith, to not be a worrier, but to be a warrior. And God can help you through that. I was thinking this week about what we pray for in when we pray, often we pray that God would take away the things that we don't want in our life. Or we pray that God would change things in our life. And that's very justifiable. But something I got to thinking about, those early disciples, after Jesus resurrected and he appeared before them and then he went back to heaven, they had to leave the upper room. They couldn't stay there forever. And when they walked out into the city streets of Jerusalem, their problems were still there. God didn't just snap a finger and all their problems that brought them concern, worry, stress, they didn't just disappear. They were there and they got even worse. For Joshua, when he said be strong and courageous, And Joshua, by faith, he stepped forward as that warrior. When they stepped into the promised land, it wasn't all roses. But God would provide the way time and time again. So when we pray, perhaps we, instead of asking God to change our situation, we just ask God to give us more courage. We ask God to give us more faith in him to grow us rather than just kind of remedying this problem and just making it all better so I can go on with my life. I think that we need to ask God to make us more courageous, to deepen our faith so we can, in the face of fear, walk through it because we have faith in God. And it all starts with having that faith, having faith in Jesus. And this morning, we're going to sing a song of worship together to God. And if you've not taken that step to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, then we ask you to make that decision if you feel led to. That if there's a decision that needs to be made this morning, that you wouldn't just slump it off or say, well, maybe another time, but maybe this would be the time God had planned for you. And if you're already a Christian, as we sing this song, I want you to think about how God can lift you up in the face of your fears, and that maybe right now as we sing, that you'd commit to God that you want to be more courageous and have more faith in him so you can step out in the face of your fears. So let's stand together and let's sing this song.